How's it going, everybody? Andrew Zarian here, Wrestling Observer Live. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. on Saturdays with Jim Valley, and Sundays with me. Happy Sunday, everybody. It is cold here. We got a polar vortex happening here on the East Coast. It's starting tonight. We're getting snow. First significant snowfall of the year. Looking forward to it, but I don't want to go to work tomorrow. Even though it's a holiday here in the States, I still got to go to work. But a lot of pro wrestling to talk about. Last night we saw AEW Collision. Tonight, by the time you guys are done with this, GCW at the Hammerstein Ballroom will be going on the air. They have about 1,700 tickets sold for that thing. I was just there in that building. Awesome venue. Awesome, awesome venue. I hope they have a great show. But Collision, we saw a couple interesting things. Chris Daniels, possibly his last match last night with Adam Page. It was a really good opener. Texas Death Match. We also saw the Death Riders in the main event, but is this leading to a Learning Tree Death Riders match? TNA, WWE, major partnership. We'll break that down. Actually, I think you may see the beginnings of that tonight. And also the Royal Rumble. More people have declared for the Rumble. My favorite show of the year. Nothing better than the Royal Rumble, to be honest. Even if it's predictable to you on who's winning and who's not winning, it's still such a blast of a show to watch. That's coming up in about 2 weeks. 3 weeks? 2 weeks? I think. What is it? The second? So, that's soon also. We have a lot to talk about. Ton of stuff happening in the world of professional wrestling. When we come back from break, we'll go into SmackDown. We'll go into Collision. We'll also go into this partnership with TNA for WWE and what that means for AEW. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Sunday edition of the show. Do me a favor. Hit me up on X at Andrew Zarian. Listen, TikTok's gone. There's no TikTok. There's nothing else you guys are going to be doing. I know I know it's like a terrible moment for many people's lives that TikTok is gone. But for at least a couple days, you have me to listen to. You have Brian Alvarez. You don't need TikTok when you have the Wrestling Observer. Let's talk about WWE and TNA, what this means. They've signed a multi-year deal to continue a partnership. WWE and TNA have signed a multi-year partnership that'll see wrestlers from TNA and NXT appear regularly on each other's programming. In the statement, it says, the agreement is to enable talent to garner additional exposure across key WWE and TNA programs, including weekly flagship shows such as NXT, which airs live on the CW, TNA Impact, select WWE premium live events, and TNA pay-per-views. This is interesting, you know, and a lot of people were freaking out over what this means for AEW. I don't think this means anything for AEW, because AEW had a partnership with TNA for a couple of years. We saw that happen, but we've seen them also have a relationship with CMLL and New Japan. This is interesting, and I'm curious what this means for TNA talent, because generally when WWE partners with somebody, it doesn't end well for the other person. And I'm hoping that's not the case here. I'm hoping this is great for all of them. I think both will benefit. I think TNA talent will benefit from this and NXT talent will benefit from this. We're not talking about the same NXT, even though their numbers are doing tremendous on the CW. They have The Rock on the show. It's a very good show. But the name recognition for a casual wrestling viewer is not there. They don't know a lot of these guys. They didn't come from any other place. Most of them are new. They're breaking into the business. Like an Obafemi. Obafemi is incredible. But if you don't watch NXT, you have no idea who Obafemi is. Am I wrong for saying that? No, I think I'm right. So if you could have another audience, which TNA, you know, to be honest, it's more of a hardcore audience if you're watching TNA. Same goes for, you know, New Japan or even Ring of Honor, AEW, a little bit more casual now. because they're on national television, you know, on a major platform. But if you're a TNA fan and you've been there for a while and this guy shows up and it's Obafemi and he's the NXT champion, that's going to bring you a different... It's not about, oh my gosh, look how many people saw it. It's more about, look at the buzz we're going to get now on social media. Because these are people that would never tweet about NXT. And I think this is a positive for TNA talent. Masha Slamovic. She was at NXT. She was in the audience holding the title belt. That's somebody that a lot of people don't know. Or like a Josh Alexander, which I think he definitely should be in WWE at this point. He's incredible. Or you got a, you know, Jordynne Grace. We've seen what she was able to do in WWE. She looked so impressive. I think this is a nice bridge for both, you know, who, if you really look at it, MG, you would say TNA has more recognizable names right now than NXT to a casual viewer.
Yeah.
Nick Nemeth, right? You got Dolph Ziggler. Yeah. Joe Hendry went viral. The Hardys, obviously.
Of course. I mean, duh. They have some names, but
they have some,
you know,
names.
One thing that you mentioned, one thing you did say there was how WWE is trying to get more people recognizable. Notice what they've been doing lately, and you brought up Masha Slamovic, but they're doing this on Raw too, where they're bringing in NXT people and people that you want to know and putting them in the audience and saying this person is this. I think they're trying
to do that.
Well,
they have to. They have to now because what was... You know, it's sometimes not everything that you do. It's about what the outside world is doing. When you go back to TNA, or I'm sorry, NXT from 2017, you know, 2016, when they were booming, most of that roster was recognized names from professional wrestling that hardcore fans knew. I have a poster behind me here. Okay, this is from November 2016. You got Nakamura, you got DIY, you got Samoa Joe, you got The Revival, you got Asuka. These are all major, major names now. But they
and
did
they were
rely
people
heavy
that they,
on them.
They were known on the indie scene.
And they were people that were known on the indies. So you would go, if I want to see a Johnny Gargano match, I was going to NXT. And then I was tweeting about it, and I'm posting about it, and it works. It helps. I think this is going to be the same thing. I think the buzz that's going to be created here is going to be really good. Now, what does it mean for talent going over to WWE? I would expect Jordynne Grace to go. I would expect Masha Slamovic to go. I think Joe Hendry would be a great person on that roster.
You mentioned Josh Alexander.
Josh Alexander. He's a total.
Tell me you don't want to see a. Tell me you don't want to see a Chad Gable Josh Alexander match.
Yeah,
like
or
today.
Or what happens if you know this is an I Quit match on that show? We'll talk about TNA Genesis also today, but. It's an I Quit match with Mike Santana. What happens if Ethan Page costs Josh Alexander that match? And now he goes to NXT and he has a great program with Ethan Page, his former partner and person he wrestled.
That would be fantastic.
I'm more curious about this Tessa Blanchard-Jordynne Grace match on this card. But very...
Yeah,
I mean,
there's some stuff there.
This is a unique time for both companies. I think this is a positive for TNA, but what does TNA want to get out of this? They were shopping for a new station. That was the rumor a while ago. Does this help them? I think so. If they go to a station, they're like, hey, listen, or Paramount, whatever they go on. And like, look, WWE talent's on here.
Yeah, and it does help. Definitely does help. One thing I will say, and just to add to this, and I brought this up with you before, is the... I've always thought WWE needed a for their upcoming talent, an excursion platform, someplace they can go and work a different style and work with different people. This gives them one in the States. They don't have to take them overseas. Although I still think they should take more.
Well, I mean, look, you know, think about who's been, but people have been in Japan. Noah just did it. They just did one with Noah.
Yeah, they just started doing it. But I'm saying in the past they haven't. So. This is one more opportunity to have more people get more matches and work in different styles and maybe speed up their development a little bit.
Well, also, remember, there's house shows are gone now, right? Yeah, so you're not getting that opportunity to work, you know, 3-4 days a week. Not that some people don't like that, but other people do. I think if you're breaking out in something, you should put in as many hours as possible.
Well, we're down to what, two house shows a week? Like just
not always
shows,
that's not it. Always
and yeah, and not always right
so if you could have it and less for NXT talent because there are people that are never wrestling, but if you could work something with TNA where they're doing, you know, some up-and-coming guys are on a pre-show or they're on a different TNA show or they're on a pay-per-view, you could do something different and you could get
more
buzz
reps.
More reps, different and a different platform, a different place, a different space. This goes a long way. I think this is great. I think this is great for pro wrestling. I think this is healthy if TNA is in existence. I think it's healthy that WWE is open to working with them. What I do not think it's healthy is how they refuse to acknowledge AEW and like how Penta
right.
debuted. And we'll talk about that Penta debut when we come back from break. I don't want to spend too much time on Raw, but I do want to talk about Penta because... I got a lot of people asking me questions that are not necessarily wrestling enthusiasts, but they occasionally watch. And the reaction to Penta was interesting by some people to me. I think this is a positive, and I can't poo-poo on it. Sorry, guys. I know generally when it's a WWE story, people think it's big, bad, and evil, but you can't predict this company right now because it's a very different fundamental company. TKO does not think like Vince McMahon, even if some of those Vince-isms are still in existence. When we come back, we're going to talk about Collision. We're going to talk about SmackDown, Penta, and a whole lot more. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline, Sunday edition of the show. Penta, Monday, he debuted. In San Jose, there was a lot of questions about this because originally it was supposed to debut on the Netflix debut of Monday Night Raw. That got pushed back. They were in San Jose. Great crowd. Was Dave that Dave did not go to that show? I think Garrett went to the show. What did you think of Penta?
I thought his presentation was... I mean... As far as how to present a new character and mention it, hey, this guy's been everywhere. Of course, they didn't mention AEW. I already said that. But just the and I know some people are iffy on the music. I like the music. I like the presentation.
I like the music. I didn't dislike the music.
They made him look like a star coming off the rip, which is something that I think maybe AEW didn't do. You know, if there's a difference.
Well, I'll give you this. He was definitely nervous, rightfully so.
Yeah.
The presentation was great. The character is fascinating. People are intrigued by my father, right? He's a great example. We were talking about in a previous segment, you know, casual viewers, people that just channel surf or like they see it's on, they put it on. My father saw it on that WWE was on Netflix. So he put it on. And he's watching it the other day, and he calls me, and he goes, hey, who is this guy?
You got to say like, it like your dad. If you're gonna
hey,
quote
listen,
your dad, you need to
listen,
say it.
Andrew, listen. Man, I can't, I got to omit some words, because my father likes to put in a couple naughty words every other word. Listen, who is this guy? I'm like, who? He goes... And he goes, Octagon. Octagon. And I'm like, no. You're talking about Penta.
He changed his shape.
He changed his shape? He goes to WWE, changes shapes? He goes, yeah, that guy. I'm like, Penta, he's great. He goes, I've never seen him before. I said, yeah, that was his debut. He goes, I like him. That guy is cool. I like him. And listen, you know, to you as the hardcore fan, you're like, oh, he likes him. He thinks he's cool. What does that mean? Yeah, that's everything you want. That's the reaction. That's all the reaction WWE wants. That guy's cool. I like his look. Who is he? I thought he looked good. He has to get used to that ring, though. That ring he needs to get used to.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
The
you
ropes
tell.
He needs to get
yeah,
used to.
Yeah, you could
to.
Tell he was...
But the dude is great.
I need a segment.
Yeah.
In
what?
The next couple of weeks, I need one segment where backstage he walks by Io Sky. And they stare at each other, and they give the point. Like,
well, how about Chelsea Green?
Somewhere.
How about Chelsea Green?
Chelsea Green's another one. Well, Io Sky and Kari had that crazy match with him. Remember that? Where they all got their arms broken. So I need something like that. But yeah, there's so many matches for him on the horizon. I think it'll be awesome.
I want to see him and Rey, obviously. Him and Dragon Lee. I want to see some wacky combinations.
Andrade.
Oh, dude, him and Andrade. Seems... Yeah, fantastic. I want to see him and Dwayne.
Oh, Jesus. Him, Jacob Fatu and Penta.
Dude.
Put that out there.
Him and Jacob Fatu. There's so many good ones. Which I think they've worked together in the past. I think him and Jacob Fatu on the Indies had a couple matches.
Probably have, but, you know, I'm just... You know, and the fear is that he's going to get WWE eyes as far as...
I don't know what that means now, though. Style. Again, right? I don't know what that means, you know, in today's
WWE.
We're
seeing package pile drivers, right? We're seeing package pile drivers on WWE.
We saw that. We saw that crazy... I mean, we're seeing pile drivers come back. I thought it was...
Penta did a version of one, right?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Mm. I thought he looked good. Now the question is, what do you do with him? I think he for the next couple of weeks he does. I want to see him and Punk again.
Yeah.
Okay. That him and Cody, him and Seth, him and can you imagine him and Roman? This is the fun part about wrestling. When you have a unique wrestler like Penta that comes into a company that has something behind him, he's not cold. He comes with something already established as somebody, and you do these wacky matches. And that was the beauty of AEW in the beginning, first couple of years. I always give an example of, you know, if it was Claudio and Trent Barretta in a match in WWE in 2020 or 2019, most people would be like, just another match. But because AEW was putting it on and it was a wacky match that you've never seen before, you were intrigued by it. And the same goes here. I think people are going to be very intrigued by this. I think they're going to be really into this. I'm very curious.
Do you like
how
the name Penta?
Goes. I love the name.
Do you like just Penta without as far as that?
Why not?
Add his Pentagon Jr. or anything?
Mm, yeah,
fair.
Yeah, but he hasn't been Pentagon Jr. in a long time.
Yeah,
you know the story of Penta. You know this is not the first Penta in WWE.
Right. It's not. No, I know. I know.
Mm. The original one was there. This guy's been wrestling for 45 years. He looks incredible. Looks incredible. Lineup for Monday Night Raw tomorrow. Seth Rollins versus Drew McIntyre. Pure Fusion Collective versus Damage Control. The New Day in action. Hall of Famer JBL will appear. I wonder if he's declaring for the Royal Rumble. Jey Uso appears, Sami Zayn addresses the WWE Universe, and WWE Intercontinental Champion Lyra Valkyria returns to WWE Raw. Let's go into SmackDown here, because this show had a lot of moving parts. Kevin Owens is excellent. He's incredible. He was wearing a shirt. What did it say? The son of, like, an electrical engineer? Something like that?
Yeah.
find out what, while we're doing this, find out what that shirt said. I died. Rey Mysterio opened the show. He declared for the Royal Rumble, so now we have another legend in this Rumble. A lot of big names this year already declared, which I like. I like that. That's, you know, sometimes they don't do that. Sometimes the big names are in their own programs and they're all doing their own thing, but this year, it seems like everybody's in the Rumble. Let me see if I have the declared list here so far. We have John Cena, CM Punk, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, Drew McIntyre, LA Knight, Jey Uso. And now we got, obviously, Rey Mysterio. I'm into this. Owens told Rey, if he won the Royal Rumble, he'd be honored to wrestle him at WrestleMania, but Rey Mysterio let him know that he isn't the WWE champion. I guess Kevin didn't know that. Caused him to snap and lay out Rey Mysterio.
His mannerisms, he's in denial, is so good. He's just so good at what
I bet he's having such a freaking blast running around town with that title belt.
Oh. The title belt that everybody wants.
The title belt that everybody wants. Yeah, everyone that's four, like 45 and under. Mm-hmm. That never could have had an opportunity to have that title. Yeah, I think he's achieving something here bigger than, I don't know, holding the Universal Championship. I think this probably means more to him than holding that Universal title. He got the Winged Eagle, dude. It's 1988. He's running around as the top heel in the business. He beat up Rey Mysterio in front of his family, also, which added a nice little element. Bianca Belair and Naomi defeated Nia Jax and Candice LeRae. Jimmy Uso defeated Carmelo Hayes. This went about 12 minutes. I thought this was a good match. You got a Solo Sikoa and Jacob Fatu segment. Earlier in the day, there was a clip of Triple H producing these guys. Did you see that?
Yeah,
see it. I like those behind-the-scenes mm-hmm. stuff. What did you think of that opening? Because, I mean, really, the star of this group now is not so much Solo Sikoa. It's Jacob Fatu.
That promo he gave... Oh, yeah, and you could tell they had Solo leave the ring. I don't know what's going on, but that promo was great. By the way, I wanted to update you. That shirt read, "The Canadian son, the Canadian dream son of a security systems technician."
A security systems technician, fantastic. Yeah, yeah.
Great. Yeah. But yeah, Jacob Fatu is, I mean, they're fast-tracking him into, like, the title picture. Would not be surprised by the end of next year he's got one of the belts.
He's incredible. Again, you see someone, you're like, oh man, that guy's special. There's something there. But look at the lineage. Who's his father? Tonga Kid, right?
Yeah.
I mean, again, these guys are bred for pro wrestling. It's been in their DNA for generations.
And it will continue to be.
Yep. Yep, it's actually, you know, you talk about families, like, this family, really, you talk about the Von Erichs, you talk about the Harts, this one family
is
the family of pro wrestling. I mean, really, how many, is there another family in pro wrestling that has put out so many top stars? Successful names in pro wrestling. I can't think of anybody. To this extent.
And you would be correct.
Motor City Machine Guns defeated Los Garzas. I like that they're doing something with Angel Umberto. Piper Niven defeated B-Fab. Kevin Owens defeated Rey Mysterio. Charlotte Flair vignette aired, so assume her for the Royal Rumble. This is right before the main event, which was Tiffany Stratton and Bayley for the title. It went about 20 minutes. Tiffany Stratton retained the title after Roxanne Perez, who was ringside, distracted Bayley. This comes after their interaction on NXT. Maybe we're going to get Bayley and Roxanne Perez now on NXT.
We are. I think so. I think mm-hmm. that's the direction.
And that's a big match. Nice blend to what they're doing to NXT. It was okay. 3 hours, you know, more a lot of wrestling, which I welcome, but good stuff. We'll be back right after this. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. AEW Collision last night. Fun show. Nice quick 2 hours. I had people over. And of course I tell people, it's 8 o'clock. Tick, tick. Time to watch some wrestling. And I make everybody go in my living room. I tie them to the seat. I keep their eyeballs wide open. And I tell them, do not make a sound. You cannot move. We're watching AEW.
You put little toothpicks on
yeah.
their eyes.
Yeah, it's really fun for everybody. Show started off with a Texas. It is, yeah. That's what Tony pays me to do now. That's the big bucks. That's how the ratings are going to improve. He called me. He's like, Andrew, we need to do some sort of brainwashing now. Change the perspective. Texas Deathmatch. Hangman Page defeated Chris Daniels in possibly his last match by knockout. I thought this was a lot of fun. I thought this was a really good match. Chris Daniels was bleeding immediately. I think it was like 4.5 minutes in. He started bleeding. Is this the end of Chris Daniels' career?
It feels like it. I don't
know.
Maybe they're transitioning to a different direction.
1993, yeah. He debuted. And, you know, a lot of what ifs about Chris Daniels. Do you know what the biggest what if is?
I know your favorite. Yeah, yeah.
He could have been the higher power.
Ugh.
Yep. He's 54 years old. He's 6 feet tall. He could have been the higher power. Now, you know who I thought would have been a great fit? Do you remember? We'll go into this, but do you remember who the rumored names for the higher power were? I remember going on the message boards, and I remember that day when they were going to do the unveiling. I was at Taekwondo. You know who else was there? Rich was there also. And I got my parents to pick me up at 8:40. Because remember, Monday Night Raw was started at 9. They picked me up early, 20 minutes early, to get home. And I put my VHS in my VCR. I hit record. And I wanted to know who the higher power is. The rumors, remember, it was people were saying, could it be Jake Roberts? Right? That was one. Is it Ted DiBiase? Everybody was saying, is it Cyrus? Which, in hindsight,
would be interesting, right?
I think by today, like, if you look at it today, that would have been the best pick. Now, I don't know if that version would have been as successful as now. But, you know, he was a good cult leader. Cyrus? Who did he manage in WWE? It was like Kurgan, right?
Yeah, it was that weird stable, right?
Yeah, it was that weird. Don Callis, I mean, the longevity of this guy, 60 years old. He's been around for so long. Again, does that change the dynamic if it was him? Fascinating. I love to think about that. But we ended up with Vince, and we got the classic line of it's me, Austin, it's been me all along, and Jim Ross's reaction. I think that's a... People remember Jim's reaction more than the actual angle and where it led to. I don't know if that's a good thing. Tony Storm promo. I hope we do something with Chris Daniels. What a fascinating career he's had. Never WWE, but he achieved everything everywhere else. You know, to a higher level. I mean, his TNA run was incredible. Tony Storm promo. Storm says that it's her dreams are coming true. As she would wrestle in the building where she first saw her first wrestling match. She said that she had yet to introduce herself to Mariah May and wanted to introduce herself next week on the homecoming episode of Collision.
And then she got pushed. They pushed back. I think it was Tony. It was like, so you don't know about your history with her, and she like blew it off. So,
do you think it's going to be a case of I bumped my head and now I have amnesia, or is this going to be her greatest theatrical performance?
I think the second one. I think the latter. I think that's where they're going. We're going to get that sly smirk at the most inopportune time. Everybody's like, "Oh, it's been."
I'm telling you, she wins the title back. She comes out and does her acceptance speech for the role that she played. You know what? I got goosebumps. I like that booking.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it. She's such a brilliant actress.
She's been pulling this off the whole time.
The whole time. Great. Her greatest role, the rookie. You know what? I think RJ's working on that, right? You know what? I'm going to message him after. I'm going to say, if you are doing this, you're a genius. You know what? Now that I remember that RJ's working on this, it's 100% a ruse. 100%. We got the
You could go the other way too, where it's a bump the head situation too, and it's still
I love the bump on the head. I love the bump on the head. That was my angle for
Lana booking.
Yeah, my Lana booking. She goes from an all-American girl and then gets bumped on the head, and now she's the Ravishing Russian. Daisy Dukes and the top, and you know she's doing that whole thing with Dolph Ziggler, and then she gets bumped on the head and she goes back to Rusev. That was my angle for her. Undisputed Kingdom: Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly, Roderick Strong defeated Shane Taylor Promotions. I don't know what they're doing with Undisputed Kingdom. They're back. They're not
Shane
back.
Shane Taylor
back together.
Looked like a beast, by the way.
He did. Yeah. He's looking good.
I was distracted during this match because I had a disappointing football game.
The Detroit
watching,
Lions?
But...
Yeah, I'm so sorry. My condolences.
Yes. But I did in the breaks was watching this, and I happened to look over at the screen and see Shane Taylor just killing people. I was like, this is how this guy should be booked.
Yeah. You got Murder Machines, Brian Cage and Lance Archer defeating Top Flight, Dante and Darius Martin with Layla Gray. After the match, Action Andretti in that ridiculous coat, that puffy red coat, came out to talk trash to Top Flight, then Leo attacked them from behind. And you know what's funny? I don't know if this is their idea of the jacket, but they can't wait to pull this thing off as fast as possible. Leo Rush entered that ring, and within a half a second, that jacket was off.
That was funny. Well, so here's my question. Is I missed where these they were all friends, and all of a sudden they're apart. I must have missed one episode.
You must have missed
somewhere.
It. Yeah, it happened. Nah. So that's the feud now. We'll probably get that next week. Actually, the Acclaimed appeared, and it appears to be the end of the Acclaimed. It was Anthony Bowen and Max Caster were out there. They were going back and forth. Caster asks Anthony Bowen to pick between him and Billy. And he picked Billy. And I guess that's the next program, Bowen and Caster. Listen, I think this is intriguing, but again, I don't knock talent ever. I think if you are performing at this level, on television especially, you are a supreme level of pro wrestling. You achieve something. Doesn't matter if your in-ring is there or not. You achieved it. I like Caster and Bowen together. I think the Acclaim had more legs on. You know, they had more leg. It wasn't over.
Right.
So what does this do if you're ending this? I don't know what this means for Anthony Bowen. I don't know, Bones. I don't know what this means for Max Caster.
I don't know about how you feel about them as individual talents, singles, but I think Anthony Bowens has got a better run.
Listen, I think he looks incredible. Yeah, but think about the amount of talent that's on that roster and what they would need to do to stand out as an individual act. It's very difficult.
They're mid-card. Definitely mid-card.
And again, I don't know mid-card, lower card, upper card. I don't know, but I think they have more success together than apart. And I think this act still had some room.
I don't know. I feel that's it was long in the tooth a little bit.
Maybe for you. I'm curious where it goes. Again, I'm a big believer of letting things play out sometimes and seeing where it goes. I want to see where this goes. Do I think it's going to be a home run 5-star classic? No, but I'm curious if it leads to something else that we don't know. AEW Continental title match. Tomohiro Ishii against Kazuchika Okada. It used to be Kazuchika, remember? That's how Brian Alvarez used to say it. And then it became, everybody realized that was wrong. Kazuchika Okada. I did not love this match. And I'll tell you why. It was 8 minutes. Okada's not an 8-minute wrestler. I don't think he's used to wrestling 8 minutes. This man is quite possibly, and Dave was speaking about this today, Okada's probably the greatest long-form pro wrestler ever. He's not used to going under 20 minutes. So it was weird to see this in 8 minutes. I love his presence. I love Okada's presence. Him and Ishii have wrestled a billion times. I would say that this was probably not their I would say it was more on the worser of their series of matches than their best of. You think that's fair?
Yeah, that's fair. I've seen a few of their matches, and you're right. He knows how to build a certain type of match. And asking him, okay, you have the next 8 minutes to do something and fit all your stuff in. It's going to be harder for him.
Yeah. So that was that. But that's getting accustomed to TV weekly wrestling in North America. That's not something that he does often.
Yep.
Dustin Rhodes defeated Adam Priest. Julia Hart defeated Harley Cameron. Main event, Powerhouse Hobbs and Rated FTR, along with the Outrunners, Truth Magnum and Turbo Floyd, defeated the Death Riders, John Moxley, Claudio Castagnoli, Wheeler Yuta, and The Learning Tree, Chris Jericho, Big Bill, and Brian Keith. What was the story here? That it ended up being just The Learning Tree out there?
Yeah, well, so FTR and Cope got in a fight with the Death Riders, and they just went backstage and all sorts of mess. I want some more direction with this Death Rider stuff.
So you're know. It's now hit you, right? Now you're off on this.
Yeah. Okay. I used to be on it. All of a sudden it's starting to hit me that there needs to be some change or some more, I guess, character, something else, something, well, another shoe needs to drop.
That's going to be my point. Yeah, that's my point. If again, I'm holding my reaction to this because it's all from the beginning. They've told you a story that there's something more here.
Right.
It's always been lingering there. And I don't know if it's because of certain words that they used early on in this, or it also has to do with the fact that the internet picked up on this and they have manufactured a want that may not happen. You know, like the Shane, let's say it is Shane. If Shane were to show up, does this change anything? I don't know. I don't know if that's worse or good. If there's some spin to this and there's another member and there's a turn, or, you know, imagine they kidnap Tony Khan. Does that change? They put him in a shark cage and the main event is, you know, for saving Tony Khan.
Oh,
control of the company, and Tony's on the fish in the shark cage. But they're, you know, like, I don't know. I have no idea what the hell this is leading to. I don't.
And that's the problem.
And that's the problem. I mean, no, that's possibly good because I shouldn't know. I should be intrigued every week, but I'm not as intrigued because I'm just, what's next? What's happening? And it's not happening. So maybe there is no plan. Maybe there is a plan. I don't know. When we come back from break, we're going to talk about next week's lineup for both Collision and Dynamite and a little bit more. Wrestling Observer Live. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Final few minutes of the show. Next week on Dynamite, you got Will Ospreay and Kenny Omega meeting face-to-face. They're going to do a tag thing. Cope versus Pac. Two ridiculous names. First, do you know that is the first time they've ever wrestled? Will happen on Wednesday. Pac and Cope. Looking forward to that. AEW Tag Team Titles. Private Party defends against the Hurt Business. Do we see the title switch? I hope so. I think we need it now. We need it now. And you got to build this tag division with just some real kick butt matches. Samoa Joe, Nick Wayne. The return of Samoa Joe for in-ring action. And you got Julia Hart and Jamie Hayter. Next week on Collision, Mariah May, Tony Storm face-to-face. Daniel Garcia, Matt Menard, and Angelo Parker versus the Undisputed Kingdom. And you got Buddy Matthews and Brody King against the Gates of Agony so far announced. All right, cool. That looks good. Genesis tonight, Nick Nemeth, Joe Hendry. The Hardys versus the Rascals, Moose versus Ace Austin. You got Tessa Blanchard, Jordan Grace, Masha Slamovich, Rosemary, and a Clockwork Orange match, an I Quit match between Josh Alexander. You also have The System versus Eric Young and Steve Macklin. Oh, you also had Spitfire versus Ash by Elegance and Heather by Elegance for the TNA Knockouts World Tag Team titles. This looks like it's going to be a fun show. Looking forward to it. Guys, do me a favor. Message me. Let me know what you think. I want your thoughts. I want your thoughts on the Death Riders, where you think it's going. I want your thoughts on the WWE NXT TNA partnership. I'll be back on Tuesday here on Wrestling Observer with Garrett Gonzalez for We're Live Pal. Also Beyond the Bell with Rich Stambolian that I do. And Matt Men on Fridays. Guys, that's it for this week. We'll see you all later. Take care.